Why, hello. Welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
Why? And hello.
Yeah, because that's the name they gave me when I was born. What was your name again?
Cody Johnston, also given to me on the day of my birth.
Which is
similar
less
to
than
yours.
24 hours before my day of birth.
Will not be saying it out loud.
I think the general public knows our birthday.
What's your first pet's name and the street you grew up on and mother's maiden name?
I'm not going that far. Okay. But yeah, Cody and I do almost share a birthday. We're born within 12 hours of each other.
That is true.
That's fun. Also, if you do a gender swap of my face or whatever, it looks exactly like Cody's.
I found that out
last year. Maybe I'll retweet that soon. Before we get too deep down this rabbit hole, I need to stop and wish everybody a very happy National Thank a Mail Carrier Day.
Yeah.
Thank a Mail Carrier Day.
Yes.
That's one. That's a holiday. I kind of appreciate that holiday. Most of these holidays are bullshit.
Yes.
We all know it. This bit. It's tired and old, but
No. Fresh.
Sometimes there's a holiday like this where I'm like, yeah, I can get behind that. Also, when I saw that, I've been trying to find an opportunity to share this story with people organically. It's not that great of a story, but over the last, like, pre-holidays, you know, package deliveries really started ramping up in my neighborhood. And there's this one guy, a UPS driver, not the same as mail carrier, but maybe they get to go under the same banner. Anyway, he rolls up most nights of the week with packages just blaring the loudest old school, like, hip hop one night, and the next night it'll be like Smash Mouth at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying, but it's funny and cute. Okay, this story doesn't have a purpose. It doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. I keep trying to capture it on camera, but I can't. Yeah. I just think he's magical. I always wave and smile at him.
Magical moments. You're sharing magical moments.
And I appreciate him. So on Thank a Mail Carrier Day, I'd like to thank him for disturbing the peace at night. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of blaring Smash Mouth music, thanks to Raycon wireless earbuds for supporting Even More News. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And guess what? Raycon's offering you 15% off your entire order, and here's what you've got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/evenmore.
Ooh, Mail Carrier Appreciation Day, maybe I could get him some Raycons.
Yes.
Although maybe that would be passive aggressive.
I feel like
I don't want that.
Absolutely be passive aggressive.
Also, my boyfriend bought himself a pair of Raycons because he loves mine. Didn't use the code.
What?
So, Raycon, I'd like to officially say that one of your orders is due to us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. So it's just Cody and me this week.
Hello.
You're gonna guess. It's been a minute since it's just been the two of us.
It's been many minutes. A lot of minutes.
But it's nice. How you doing?
I'm okay. You know. Hi.
You're moving.
I am moving. I'm almost done in the transitional period between the places. I'm enjoying that. It's nice to almost be done with that. And
I've never done a big move in the middle of work. Like,
yeah.
I've always been able to take the time to really focus on it. And so that's probably pretty chaotic.
It's very chaotic. I was hoping to actually, it was just like the way getting the place worked out. I was hoping to be able to do the move during Christmas break.
Because
I wasn't going anywhere. So I might as well do something like that. That didn't happen. So yeah, it's been a bit chaotic. Doing the moving stuff that people do at the same time as, like, you know, there's a shoot today, we're doing this, we've doing stuff all week and so on.
Yeah, it's been a hectic week. Our schedule had to shift a bunch due to many different reasons, but today we're recording this and then we're shooting right after and we're doing other podcasts and other things and the move and moral of the story is it's just you and me today.
Yeah, hello, can't complain.
No.
Complain.
Before we get into the actual news, I wanted to just have a conversation about something that I've been thinking about a lot, and that is the transition back to normalcy post-vaccine. I'm obviously getting a little bit ahead of myself, but
a bit, sure.
Well, here's my parents, thankfully, have both now received the first round of their vaccination. Ooh, that made me a little emotional just saying it. I'm just so relieved that they've at least started the process. It hit my mom really hard, the first one. She had a lot of side effects for a couple of days. And it started me thinking, you know, like, okay, when can I see them? You know, they'll both get their second dose at the end of February. I believe that's when they'll get it. And I was like, oh, can I go see them? Because they live in the mountains. They live pretty secluded. They're literally snowed in at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that level of risk. I say that, but I don't know if in the actuality, then I'm like, well, I don't know, because everything that I've been reading, and obviously just
common
sense.
Katie, don't read. Don't read.
But, you know, when can you comfortably be with your family? The answer is when everybody's vaccinated, you know, and plus some time to let the antibodies kick in and all of that. But I'm just so eager for it. But it raises a bunch of questions. And as we're learning, is that we don't know. We don't really know.
Don't learn either. What are you doing?
I'm just desperate to see my family. That's all.
I know.
Desperate. You know, it just, as people start getting vaccinated, we're going to have these questions, and you're going to have to start to decide when's the right moment that you can see your family. And also, we're going to have to start having the conversation, especially with our elders, I guess, that just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean that you're free to go around without a mask out in public. We don't know yet if that means that you can't carry it even though you're protected. Mm-hmm. We don't.
Yeah, that's going to be a very rough period because it's, you know, like a common... Like it would be like it would be like, quote, common sense to a lot of people. Like, well, I got the vaccination. I don't need to wear a mask.
Right.
And everyone else like, well, no, everyone's vaccinated. We don't need to wear masks. And that's not necessarily the case. It's reductive. Well, it reduces everything. But yeah, it's
especially since we've talked about this a lot on this show, the other shows, mutations, the possible. Mm-hmm. There are obviously lots of mutations happening. There are some that are more deadly and more viral than the others. They have been reported here in the United States. And the race right now is to vaccinate people and stop the spread of these before more mutations take hold, because we don't know how effective our vaccines will be against specifically the South African strain, but you know, whatever future mutations there might be.
Apparently there were cases of the, quote, South African strain in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no, they weren't able to ascertain like any sort of contact between those cases and people who'd been to South Africa. So like, it's not even necessarily like, I don't know.
It's not even necessarily South Africa.
Yeah. It's just like,
well, that's just the whole, that's, I guess, still part of the point is we just don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And so even though I'm desperate to see my family, and maybe it will work out as such that they are completely isolated, and I don't know. I probably still won't do that until it's much safer. But I
too much information and not enough information.
It's just I'm just being honest and transparent that we are all in this stage of the pandemic where we're desperate for the next thing or desperate for a resolution, but we have to be patient.
Well, because like most things, it's not going to be a clear-cut situation. And like, I think a lot of people are waiting for like the date, right? Where it's like, on this date, we can all go party. It's go outside day. And that's just not how it's going to be. There's going to be a slow burn of a transition. And it's not going to be like, officially, today's the day the pandemic has ended. It is over. Which makes, makes all these conversations more difficult.
Yeah. Speaking of a slow burn transition into talking about COVID relief, just wanted to throw this out there. Dave gave me this little tidbit. This is from NBC Bay Area. The Oklahoma Attorney General's office is attempting to return $2 million worth of a malaria drug Once touted by former President Donald Trump as an effective treatment for COVID-19. Mm. You guys remember hydroxychloroquine?
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma's trying to return it. Fun.
Oh, did they not need it?
They didn't need it.
Was it not something that should have been pushed
it shouldn't.
By our president regularly?
It's all a big joke.
Oh, ha 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 ha.
Ha 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 ha. Funny. Here's something also funny. An update on your stimulus checks.
Yeah, stimmy. Give me that stimmy.
That stimmy. I tried to make a stimmy, Arrested Development stimmy joke way back when in March. Really didn't take hold on Twitter.
No, I'm sorry.
It's not zeitgeisty enough anymore.
Yeah.
Anywho, yesterday the Senate voted 50-49, peep those margins, in favor of moving the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package forward using budget reconciliation. If that number wasn't clear, zero Republicans voted for the resolution. Just for the record, in case you guys have missed that, I guess passing a separate coronavirus relief bill through reconciliation allows them to avoid the 60-vote legislative filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
The filibuster is something we'll probably dig into more in depth next week, I think, on the show.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Also,
on Wednesday, the House passed its budget resolution. I believe their margin was 218 to 212.
Yeah.
Just scraping by, which, you know, means that committees can start drafting the pieces of Biden's bill, you know, the stimulus checks, the state and local aid and all of that.
Disgusted that they're using reconciliation to get this through. The Republicans would never do anything like that. They would never reconciliation to push something like corporate tax cuts, things like that.
It's ghastly.
It is ghastly. So shame on them. And yay on the Republicans who would never do that.
Yes, everything that you said. I agree with you completely. The checks will be for $1,400, which isn't enough, but okay.
It's not what they said, but okay.
But it's not what they said, but okay.
But now
what's unclear is who will be getting it. So I guess that's the next thing, the next bargaining chip. And it's a little bit janky, I'll say. You know, if you're going to be selective and pick and choose who gets money, then maybe the people that are harder hit should get more money or something. But it's not going to be like that. It's just about how to cut corners as much as possible.
Yeah. And like it's anytime, I don't know, generally, it's okay that some people who don't need it get it. Because that means that everybody who does need it will get it if everybody gets it. If you do these sort of like got to jump through hoops and this means testing thing,
and
then
can't
that means
you have that reflected in your taxes at the end of the year if you have received money at a certain income bracket. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right? Like it's just it makes it so some people who need it won't get it because you're making it too complicated, and it costs money to do all this stuff too, like to do this means testing. And if you're going to, it's just very frustrating, aside from the fact that, again, they said $2,000 checks out the door right away. And now they're saying, well, $1,400 checks if you earned $15,000
right.
or less. Also, unless this has changed since then, this is their current plan, is $1,400 to $50,000 or less individuals and $100,000 or less couples, married couples. And
I think I read 75,000 for an individual and 150 for couples, but I could be wrong. Anyway,
it changes every day, partly because Joe Biden basically announced to everybody several times that he's willing to like bargain on this, which is a great negotiating tactic. Say you're willing to do less for fewer people out loud.
Yeah. But I'm open to your suggestions.
Yeah. But also, so aside from that, it's again, unless this has changed, it's $50,000 or less that you made in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that's
a lot of people lost their jobs in 2020 for some reason. And your income in 2019
is such a mess.
It's such a mess. It's so wild.
Because a lot of people didn't file their taxes until, Like, everything's been shifted and pushed back and changed and flexed because we didn't have
extensions
to file taxes.
And things, that, exactly.
It's a mess.
And maybe they'll wait until, like, April or May to do the 2020 taxes based on that. But that's also, like, months from now. And maybe we need it now. Maybe people need it now.
Maybe not.
I don't know. It's just it's not a good idea generally. There's other stuff that's good in the bill, and that's fine. But like, this was something that they hung their hat on.
Well,
announced, like, they're like, $2,000, you're gonna get the check out the door right away, and it's just been whittled down and down and down and down. It's terrible messaging, and just such an obvious win for them to not do it this way.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you completely. Speaking of our legislative bodies, how about one specific legislative body, like person? Marjorie Taylor Greene. We're going to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene now. I flew too close to the sun here.
No. You flew exactly the right distance.
Cocky with my transitions. Today. No, here, maybe I could do a Michael Barbaro. Today, Thursday, February 4th. The House is going to vote to remove MTG. MTG. I'm abandoning this bit.
Previously on the news.
The House is going to vote to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene from all of her committee assignments. They're supposed to, anyway. I'm assuming that they will. It's currently happening as we record.
Currently attempting to happen.
Since Kevin McCarthy, the Republican, and the Republican leadership refuses to do so. He very bravely condemned her words yesterday, but apparently not enough to actually do anything to punish her. To be fair, he also did not choose to punish Liz Cheney or to remove her from committees. And if you missed this, the Trumpy segment of the GOP have been calling for her removal and punishment, blah, 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 ostracization ever since she advocated for impeachment.
How dare she?
And
how dare she, like, make people have to try to defend Liz Cheney?
Do the bare minimum.
Who sucks?
Who sucks?
By the way.
I'm going to come back around to that. I'm going to finish reading this and then come back around to this because I have thoughts. Today in front of the House, Marjorie sort of walked back her comments without actually apologizing and a lot of lies. You know, she basically tried to distance herself from words of the past, even though some of these words were very recent. She says that she didn't campaign on Q, except that she did. Maybe that wasn't on her official website, but she clearly was a vocal supporter of QAnon as she was running for office.
Yeah.
And, you know, was a part, played a part in the insurrection, and questioning the election results. I don't need to begin running through a list of the things that she's done, but the fact that they chose not to punish her or Liz Cheney is a real illustration of the problem that they have right now, which is that they can't win without the loyal GOP people, the quote unquote never Trumpers or whatever, the Lincoln Project types, or the Trump supporters. They can't win without the conspiracy theorists, without the racists,
without the mask off absurd American fascist party.
And so what are they going to do about it? Probably nothing at all.
Probably nothing until it gets even worse, right?
Or maybe nothing then either. Like, it's just...
Not until, as in they'll do it then. It'll continue to be a bigger mess, and then America will explode.
And I don't know. I didn't read the whole article. I sent it to you. This conversation about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and if it's not her, it's another one. These figures within the Republican Party who are continuing to take the lessons of the president and to capitalize on whatever thing that they can to be sensationalist, to, you know, scream about censorship, to, you know,
she raised more than $150,000 yesterday.
Really? Because, just yesterday?
Yeah, just yesterday. Because people were talking about her and doing her thing.
And it's a problem for the GOP. It's a problem for us culturally, too. I don't know if you agree with me or not on this, but I look at us reacting to Marjorie Taylor Greene online and in our, you know, lives. And I've seen, you know, talking to friends who are not even that involved in politics. Well, they are because of this year, but, right. You know, in general. And she's becoming a household name.
Yeah.
More so than you would hope. And it's tricky because I do believe we gave Trump oxygen. You know, just the fact that he was removed from Twitter took all the wind out of his sails, you know?
Yeah,
and
there's
he didn't
that
have
report,
that platform.
Report that he's like drafting tweets that he can't send and like suggesting tweets to people. Yeah. I don't know if you
I'm
saw
sorry.
That.
I'm sorry. It's become his like dream journal.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. He is frustrated that he can't tweet.
And that's what you want. But at the same time, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to not point out the thing that's happening because it's going to continue to happen. But we give it oxygen and continue to let it grow. But it was going to grow anyway.
Yeah,
it's a tricky situation. How do we talk about it?
Yeah, it's very tricky. Because she is a representative of, again, like the absurd American fascist party that we have going on right now. And there were shades of it going on, you know, with the, like the Tea Party and like the Michelle Bachmann and like Sarah Palin was proto-Trumpy and things like that. Trump's being able to be in the spotlight for decades and decades and be like Hollywood guy and also the business guy and all the things that we've talked about in the show before sort of made it all acceptable and made him able to get all that oxygen and all the attention. Mm-hmm. We live in an attention economy. Look at any social media. That's what we have. Attention is capital in a lot of ways. Also, capital is capital. Like, let's be clear. But like, you know, empty podiums for 20 minutes waiting for him to speak and that kind of thing. And with, but it would have been nice if years ago he was impeached and convicted and removed from office to show that that's not okay. With Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's the kind of thing like, I guess we could wait for a couple of years for her to be voted out or something like the House is trying to do, which I don't think they'll actually do, is to remove her from these positions.
You don't think they'll remove her from the positions?
I don't.
That's
think
what
so.
I also like, wanted to hear your opinion on. I
mean, maybe I would be. See, a lot of people think I'm like really. I'm just so cynical and I'm angry. No, I just like don't have a lot of faith in these people or these institutions, and I don't know.
I'd rather be surprised than disappointed.
Exactly.
I
like
guess.
I would be happy to be surprised. I love being surprised by good things happening. But
I said that about Trump at the beginning too.
Yeah, I'd be happy.
I'd be happy if he did something good. That'd be great. Show me. Never mind.
I'd also don't believe it, and also would still think he's a garbage man.
I would still think he's garbage. Yeah.
And I also like we've talked about like maybe he'll do Medicare for all, but like make it for like you know the special people, so it's not actually like that's what he would do. But I just don't think that they're going to. Maybe they will. It would be nice. That's the kind of thing that you need to do. To hold something like this absurd fascist party accountable. But like combined with that, you have this sort of media blitz where every day there's like 20,000 Marjorie Taylor Greene, this, look at her. And again, she made more than $150,000 yesterday.
She's doing fine.
It's just there's a balance. I don't know the solution to this. I don't know. I'm just
me either.
I am just pointing out that it's kind of a problem.
I think it's probably an important thing to just continue to bring up when we talk about her. Not every time, but when I was talking about it with, I'm thinking of one specific friend who I was very surprised even knew who she was, and he was like, I don't want to pay attention to her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know that she exists. And I'm like, that's the problem is like, we both can't look away. We have to recognize that it's happening, but I also don't want to give her too much oxygen. I'm not giving her all of my inner rage because I'm saving that for other things, but I will call it out. I will acknowledge that it's happening, you know, and continue to try to point out that people like her exist and will continue to exist as long as we allow them to. And we have to watch what these moving pieces are that we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Might
it's
feel
be...
a little calmer, but it's not.
Oh, no, it's not. It's going to get worse. I mean, there's no, like, you know, Trump did it. He was like, he's the famous one. He made it all acceptable in more ways than it has been in the past. And now he's fractured the party in various ways, but he's fractured who he is. And there are going to be all these people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are going to believe these things and be successful and realize, oh, look, they tried to censor her. They tried to get her off these committees and she made fucking six figures in like a day.
I mean, like, that's unbelievable.
And if you see that that's happening, it's the same thing with a lot of the grifters who like the right wing grifters who like do their things where it's like, oh, I see that it works. So I can just do that.
And it's extra sickening to me right now during the pandemic, knowing that so many of the people that shelled out for her yesterday probably can't afford it right now, probably need that money. But they also see this as, you know, how they can protect our democracy and fight for what's right or whatever. Yeah. But they're being grifted.
Being manipulated and taken advantage of. And we're going to see a lot more Marjorie Taylor Greens in the future. And I don't know like how to do it, because there's a balance of like, well, no, we need to not allow her to have this kind of power while also not giving her power by giving her all this attention. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that balance looks like, but it's very frustrating. you know, you get rid of one Trump and then, you know, 20 replace him. That's the old saying. That's what they say. Yeah, and it's not just the balance. It's like going way, way too far talking about this too. There's the Dem strategy has come out for the midterms. The DCCC chair, Sean Patrick Maloney, they're talking about how their plan is basically to tie the GOP to QAnon. Like, the GOP is the party of QAnon. Which isn't, like, untrue, but also, like, QAnon people come from all walks of life. It's not like, oh, this is the GOP, or like, oh, it's like, oh, only, like, it's the rednecks, or like, whatever it is, whatever, like, classist bullshit you want to try to apply to it. It's all kinds of people. It's the suburban moms. It's, like, yoga. It's, like, all kinds of people. And it seems like maybe a bad idea, A, to run on that specifically, just as like,
well, it's alienating for all the other people that are like, well, not us,
right? And like, aside from like, the GOP is the party QAnon, therefore vote for us, it's again, it's the Trump is bad and we're not Trump sort of angle, which is so just like
ineffective.
It's silly. It's lazy. And there's this quote from the chair, the DCCC chair, Sean Patrick Maloney, they can do QAnon or they can do college educated voters. They cannot do both. And that is just like really gross. First of all, like it's, you don't have to have graduated from college to not believe in QAnon. Marjorie Taylor Greene graduated from University of Georgia.
Plenty of people who are successful and college educated. Yes.
These people go to colleges to recruit. Cults go
to
colleges
to recruit
them.
You're really missing the point if you distill it to just something like that. If you just refer to it as these people are stupid.
Yeah.
And
it's
elitist.
It's elitist. It's alienating. It's classist. It's gross. And it's not true.
And it's not true. Also, they absolutely can try to cater to both, because that's what they've been doing.
Yeah, they've been, you know? They clearly have been
like,
doing.
You're wrong.
You can do both. You can, obviously. And
you have to show, you have to give an actual, an alternative to what people see. As
yeah, well. That's, so that's the other thing. Like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to be like, it's QAnon or college educated voters, which again, come on, guy. If you're going to do that and claim like, actually, the problem is that these people aren't college educated, the message shouldn't be that the GOP is the party of QAnon. The message should be that the Democrats are the party of giving you free college.
There we go.
There's your solution. Instead of being against the bad people and being like, well, we're not them. Be like, we're actually good. We'll solve the problem. It's such a perfect example of the utter like losers they are.
I'm going to go ahead and transition us to an ad break.
Do it.
Seems appropriate. We're going to do that. And then we're going to come back for even more news.
Even more of it. Even more of the news. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm always looking at a screen, now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
Now more than ever. And whether you're an avid news watcher or in serious need of a distraction, unplugging yourself is easier said than done. One of my favorite ways to rest my eyes and still, you know, consume is putting in my Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great or depressing depending on the moment. That's why we've teamed up with Raycon and recommend their wireless earbuds. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order at buyraycon.com/evenmore.
Whether you're catching up on your favorite news podcast or a D&D podcast, binging an audiobook, binging the band Audio Slave, or powering through your workout with a pumped up playlist, or powering through your favorite news podcast, a pair of Raycons in your ears can make all the difference. They're water and sweat resistant, and the Bluetooth pairs quickly and seamlessly, and somehow their great sound starts at half the price of other premium audio brands.
I like my Raycon earbuds because they charge so dang fast and don't have those weird danglers on them. You know, the stemmy danglers. They don't even need to be charged so dang fast until after 6 hours. I have mine in while I'm doing chores or simply living my life.
Raycon's offering 15% off all of their products for our listeners, and here's what you gotta do. Don't be like my boyfriend, and do go to buyraycon.com/evenmore. That's it. That's all he had to do. If he had, he would have gotten 15% off his entire Raycon order, which is something that you are able to do right now. So do it. Feel free to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/evenmore. Buyraycon.com/evenmore.
Buyraycon.com/evenmore.
And we are back for even more news. Lots of it, in fact.
Oh,
we'll try
lots?
To get through it quickly. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's amazing how much brain space is freed up and anger space with Trump gone. I don't know if I've said this on air yet, but I was worried. I was like, oh gosh, will we have enough to talk about? We have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
All right, lots. I'll stop stalling.
Lots of so much to talk about.
So much to talk about. Lots of Amazon stories specifically, and we love talking shit about Amazon. So why don't we start there? Some of these stories broke at the same time, and I wasn't sure which one should go first. Should we talk about Jeff Bezos, quote unquote, stepping down as CEO of Amazon?
Good luck to our friend Jeff Bezos. I hope he lands on his feet.
Yeah. Or should we talk about the FTC telling them they need to pay $61.7 million in tips that they withheld from delivery drivers?
Yeah.
Unfucking believable.
They stole that money from their
drivers. They stole that money. Yeah, that pisses me off. I'm going to start there. yeah, you guys might have only peripherally seen this story because a lot of stuff happened at once. But what happened is Amazon hired drivers being like, yo, you'll get 100% of your tips. And then a couple years ago, made a big deal about raising wages for drivers. But when they raised the wages, they paid for the difference out of their fucking tips.
Yeah.
And I actually want to read part of the actual FTC press release because, man, they're like, Amazon's a cartoonishly evil corporate overlord. I'll probably read a lot of this, actually. Okay, from FTC. Amazon Flex is a program in which drivers classified by Amazon as independent contractors can agree to make deliveries using their personal vehicles. Flex drivers deliver goods and groceries ordered through the Prime Now and Amazon Fresh programs, which allows customers to give the drivers a tip. The FTC's complaint alleges that in addition to telling drivers they would receive 100% of their tips, Amazon also assured its customers that 100% of any tips they paid would go to the driver. In late 2016, the FTC alleges, Amazon shifted from paying drivers the promised rate of $18 to $25 per hour plus the full amount of customer tips, a shift that it did not disclose to drivers. Amazon shifted from paying drivers the promised rate of $18 to $25 per hour plus the full amount of customer tips to paying drivers a lower hourly rate. The FTC alleges that the company then intentionally failed to notify drivers of the changes to its pay plan and even took steps to make the changes obscure to drivers. Amazon received hundreds of complaints from drivers after enacting the change as drivers became suspicious when their overall earnings decreased. Drivers who complained received form emails falsely claiming that Amazon was continuing to pay drivers 100% of the tips. Internally, Amazon employees refer to the company's handling of the change and driver complaints about it as an Amazon reputation tinderbox and a huge PR risk to Amazon. All right, that was a lot.
Calling it an Amazon reputation tinderbox is also a huge PR risk to Amazon.
All of it.
Good Lord. It's,
just break it down. Made the change, didn't tell anybody, continuing telling people the opposite, obscured it, created a fake or like a stock email response to anybody who's trying to complain, and made it so obscure that nobody could get any answers about it. And they're right. It was a huge, huge PR risk.
PR risk.
So I wonder why the Bezos news broke the same day.
That's interesting. That's an interesting Interesting timing there.
I don't know if that was purposeful. I have to feel like it had to have been. It certainly helped distract, from the potency of this story.
Interesting timing. You know what? It is what it is.
Interesting timing.
There's something I did want to point out. Citations Pod Citations Needed podcast is a podcast I would recommend to people. They're very good at sort of noticing how the media talks about certain things. And one thing about this particular story, because what you're describing, Katie, is that they lied and then they stole this money. They stole their tips, right?
Yeah, they stole their tips.
Some of the phrases
almost used, $62 million in tips.
Yes. Some of the phrases used instead of the stealing. Here's from the Chicago Tribune. The Federal Trade Commission says that Amazon didn't pass on tips to drivers. Here's New York Times. Amazon to pay fine for withholding tips.
Interesting coverage.
Vox. Amazon will pay $61.7 million in a settlement over allegations that the company used customer tips to subsidize the hourly wages.
Talking around the point here.
Yeah, we got a CBS News case. DoorDash to pay $2.5 million for allegedly misusing worker tips.
Oh, okay. Allegedly.
Amazon Jeff Bezos is the Washington Post. Their headline was Amazon shortchanged drivers, $61.7 million.
Fuck
in tips.
You, Washington Post.
Here's from local news 10, FTC consumer alert. Amazon Flex misrepresented drivers' tips.
Yeah, it's bad. That's bad coverage right there. Bezos is quote unquote stepping down as CEO.
Thoughts and prayers.
Handing the reins over to some dweeb named Andy Jazzy.
I mean, they're all
dweebs. Just wanted to call someone a dweeb. He actually seems like maybe not the worst guy. I don't know, but he's at least publicly tweeted about Black Lives Matter and stuff. So, okay, whatever, Jazzy.
Thanks for the public tweet, Jazzy.
This is from NBC. Bezos will transition to the role of executive chair in the third quarter of this year, which starts July 1st, the company said. Andy Jazzy, the executive of Amazon Web Services, will take over as CEO of Amazon.
You just love
in a memo, I do. I'm excited for that. In a memo to employees, Bezos said the transition will give him, quote, the time and energy I need to focus on the Day One Fund, the Bezos Earth Fund, Blue Origin, the Washington Post, and my other passions. Someone tweeted this. A lot of people have tweeted this. Very important point that for billionaires, philanthropy is basically also just PR for them. It's a PR cover. And if you think he's actually stepping away, he actually probably has even more power just being whatever this executive chair is. You know, he still is going to be immensely benefited from everything that happens and be able to pull the strings. But whatever. Sure. PR move.
Yeah. Good.
And then,
ooh.
If you think I was done talking about Amazon, you're wrong. Right before we started recording today, Vice put out an article about how Amazon is starting to force workers into these horrific mega cycle shifts. Did you see that article?
I did see that. Mega cycle. Very cool.
This is bad.
That word makes it sound exciting and cool.
It's bad. On January 25th, a bunch of workers at an Amazon warehouse in Chicago, it's the DCH1, which is one of their most well-organized warehouses. They've had a lot of like protests and walkouts, petitions and whatnot. Anyway, those workers were presented with a choice. They had to sign up for a 10.5-hour graveyard shift or lose their job. And this new mega cycle would be they're shutting down the DCH1 warehouse, again, the organized one, and shifting them to a new Chicago warehouse. And just, you know, just giving them this ultimatum that they had to do that. And it basically represents a broader strategy for Amazon. And they've been, you know, quietly moving towards this mega cycle shift for months. And it's very exploitative, you know, less people for more time. And, you know, ultimately it's about creating efficiency so that they can ship things to people last minute overnight deliveries, but pay people less and work their employees harder. Yeah, it's not good. Not a good week for Amazon.
Or it's a great week for Amazon, like every week is.
Every week is. I'm sure they've made a ton of money.
Yeah. It was a good year for Amazon. It's a good year. It's a good time.
All right. That's enough on Amazon. I felt important to talk about it. But there's one other story I wanted to get to before we leave. And I wanted to put it last because it deserves a warning. A trigger warning if you are somebody that will feel very sensitive to talks about sexual assault and abuse in general, this is probably a good time to dip out, come back next week, knowing that we love you very much. But for anybody sticking around, I think that we need to talk about the Marilyn Manson abuse stories a little bit right now. I'm sure you've seen it. Evan Rachel Wood, the actress and, you know, former fiance partner of Marilyn Manson, came out and spoke about her account with him, which is incredibly disturbing. And she has spoken publicly about being a survivor of sexual and physical violence. This was the first time she specifically named Manson. This is from the New York Times. The name of my abuser is Brian Warner. He also known to the world as Marilyn Manson, Ms. Wood wrote in an Instagram post. He started grooming me when I was a teenager and horrifically abused me for years. I was brainwashed and manipulated into submission. I'm done living in fear of retaliation, slander, or blackmail. I am here to expose this dangerous man and call out the many industries that have enabled him before he ruins any more lives. It's really bad. This is all from the New York Times. Ms. Wood, who supported a California law that extended the statute of limitations on domestic abuse, testified before the state Senate in 2019 that a man whom she did not identify by name had groomed her when she was 18. He cut me off from my close friends and family one by one by exhibiting rage in some form or another when I was in contact with them. He had bouts of extreme jealousy, which would often result in him wrecking our home, cornering me in a room and threatening me. In one instance, he forced her to kneel in their bedroom, tied up her hands and feet, beat her, and shocked sensitive parts of her body with a device called a violet wand. When she tried to leave him, he would call her house incessantly, she said. Mr. Manson told Spin magazine in 2009 that he had called Miss Wood 158 times one day after a breakup. Quote, I have fantasies every day about smashing her skull in with a sledgehammer. Here's the thing. This has always been who he is, and I say that not in like defense of him or something, but in a rapprochement of us, of our society, our laws that have allowed him to get away with it, not only get away with it, but celebrate it. He built his career around being this type of person. You know, in hindsight, there's been a lot of extremely disturbing interviews of his. They're being shared now. And I think that people were disturbed by them at the time, but maybe just assumed they were all a part of his shtick, except right. That when someone keeps showing you over and over again, and allegations have been around for a long time, you know? But anyway, here are some of his choice quotes. If a girl starts wearing sweatpants in a relationship, it's over. It means she doesn't give a shit anymore and you're not going to fuck her. Girls should always present themselves to you when you come home. Mm. Hi, honey, I'm home. And she's wearing lingerie, legs akimbo. Come and get it, honey. And this is from NBC. In a 2009 interview with Spin magazine conducted shortly after his breakup with Wood, Manson said he called Wood 158 times while self-mutilating and then blamed her for it. I wanted to show her the pain she put me through, Manson said. It was like, I want you to physically see what you've done, which is very, very typical for abusers to do, to want to, psologically manipulate, make the person feel like they are responsible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, he's been accused of misconduct in the past, but charges haven't really stuck. I mean, there's been lots of cases. You know, in 2018, apparently there were charges that didn't get pursued, you know, this is great. In 2001, he was charged with sexual assault for rubbing his crotch on a security guard's head at a concert. I mean, it's just so many, not just against women, just in general, his behavior has been abusive. But then a bunch of other women started coming forward, as well as old assistants, you know, just other people sharing their extremely, extremely disturbing stories. And these are hard. These are really hard to read, but these women were brave enough to share them. And I think that we should, you know, hear them and share the words. This is from Ashley Walters. I continue to suffer from PTSD and struggle with depression. I stayed in touch with quite a few people who went through their own traumas under his control. As we all struggled, as survivors do, to get on with our lives, I'd keep hearing stories disturbingly similar to our own experiences. It became clear the abuse he's caused. He continues to inflict on so many, and I can't not stand by and let this happen to others. Brian Warner needs to be held accountable. Ashley Lindsay Morgan, I have night terrors, PTSD, anxiety, and mostly crippling OCD. I try to wash constantly to get him out of or off of me. It's awful. Gabriella, it is taking me 5 years to speak out and say that I was in an abusive relationship. I have been diagnosed with PTSD and still suffer from nightmares. I blocked out a lot of memories, but the feelings remain and manifest in various ways. It's truly horrifying and very significant that all of these women are talking about crippling PTSD.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very hard. It's been hard to watch the conversation about this online and, you know, backlash against these women. Why don't you come up? Why don't you come forward sooner?
Same old story.
Same old story. Coupled with other news this week, I believe it was this week. We're certainly still talking about it this week, about AOC and her live stream that she had. Coupled, I mean, just my fury at how we talk to women and about women who are sharing horrific stories. And I'm sure you guys have seen this as well, but earlier this week, AOC did a live stream talking about the insurrection and the fear that she had that day of being killed. She talked about hiding in her office and people running around screaming, "Where is she? Where is she?" And thinking she was going to die. During that live stream, she also shared that she had been assaulted in her past. And while a lot of people on the left, I think, have been supportive of her, some of us haven't,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people on the right certainly haven't. You know, didn't take long for people to be mocking her, calling her a drama queen. You know, I think there's been some sort of mocking AOC hashtag trending every day this week in the wake of sharing this story. God, it's really heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Just yeah.
I don't, these stories go together and they don't. It's just also representative of, you know, believe women and listening to women and holding space for women's stories. And it's just so easy to,
and it's a, yeah, and the framing of it is like she's just being this like manipulative person to like score, like I've seen like people like score clout and stuff, and it's like, well, she did, went through this experience, and like, yeah, she didn't get murdered, but like there were people there who wanted to,
yeah,
and there are other things going on and other problems we want politicians to deal with, but that doesn't mean that this is stopping that from happening. And I don't know, there's a lot of that, and just like the way that
it's, I tweeted this today, but the fact that the reaction online from so many people on the right, and I'll talk about the left in a minute, but so many people on the right has been so mocking, is just an example of how she is a target of their derision and how they don't respect her, and how very easily you don't have to work hard to connect those dots. I absolutely believe, and I believed that day, I was afraid for specifically AOC and the other squad members on that day as I was watching this unfold. Without a question, somebody there easily would have chosen to harm
her.
Yeah,
like there are people, like, obviously she's like a general target, the right, like, is obsessed with, like, complaining about her and talking about her every day. But they hate her in a murderous way.
Yeah.
In a violent way. And that's true. All politicians get death threats and, like, people hate politicians and stuff. But there is a target on their back specifically.
And I've seen this point online as well. The people that day killed cops. They beat, and the cops that they didn't kill, they brutalized so many people injured. You think that if they did that to cops, this isn't in defense of cops, but if they did that to cops, what do you think they would have done to AOC or Ilhan Omar?
Yeah.
Also, side note, I just want to mention, I listened to, I don't know if it was this week's This American Life or last, it was called What We Have Lost, you know, talking about the past year, and they did an account of a cop, I think it was on that episode, you know, on the day, it was a black officer and his experiences, and it's really gutting. I cried several times listening to it. Just the pain and the anger of being in that situation, and that these racist people were there trying to take the Capitol, and how betrayed, you know, they felt. And also, again, this isn't a defense of cops thing, but several cops have taken their DC Capitol police have taken their own lives between the insurrection and now. I share this to underscore how traumatic and violent
it was. A fucked up day. It was a really fucked up day and thing that happened.
And
what
I was going to say in regards to people on the left, I know that there are types on the left, Jimmy Dores will say, who, you know, have focused on AOC and progressive members of, you know, the party with criticisms. And maybe there's, you know, I'm not getting into some of that, but regardless of how you feel about her politics, she's a human being that underwent something incredibly traumatic, and the response isn't to mock it.
It's important to pressure our politicians, but this is, it's the kind of thing that, like, you're mocking her for talking about, like, being sexually assaulted. And, like, I saw, like, a lot of, like, she wasn't even in the Capitol building. It was a riot, like, in that area. She was in an office in the compound. There are tunnels that go all around the cap, like, under the Capitol to these other areas. And even the framing of, like, she said there were insurrectionists outside the office. Like, well, no, she said that she thought that there were. And then she told the story of, like, the guard that it turned out to be. And, like, framing it as if she's saying, like, oh, there were these people banging on the door and they were there to kill me and then they left. She never said that. And it's being framed as if she is. And I'm seeing on both sides, I'm seeing a lot of that everywhere. And just, like, this weird, like, visceral, like, reaction to, like, her talking and framing it like that. You don't need to be dishonest to criticize people, and you don't need to dismiss that. Like, in the same way, like, you know, again, it's I'm not going to give too much oxygen to, like, a Steven Crowder type. But, like, when he's mocking her talking about her sexual assault, but then he's got tweets where he's like, oh, look at CNN mocking this rape victim. It's like, well, so you don't care. You actually don't care.
Right.
You don't.
It's
all bullshit.
And one last point I'll say, just to tie it all up. One of the other things I've seen people talk about is, like, why didn't she say this right away? Why didn't she share some of this? You know, your story's changing. Similar to a lot of the reaction I've seen to Evan Rachel Wood. Why didn't you share this right away? Because it's her story and it's her trauma. That's the answer in both of this. And sometimes it takes a minute to be able to clear your thoughts in terms of, like, AOC taking a few weeks. Sometimes you need to feel to figure out the exact words you want to say. You don't, it's also not on her responsibility to respond immediately. So you, if that's, fuck off.
Well, also, like, again, it's the same old story. It's a tale as old as time. How many times does that question have to be asked and answered for it to not be asked next time.
Yeah.
All the times. It has needs to be asked so many, all the times, every time.
Apparently. All right, guys. We've done it. We've talked about a lot of news. We got to go shoot 15 pages in like an hour. So I think it's time for us to wrap things up today.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Hey, look at that.
About how we got to go shoot an episode of the show.
We got to go keep on keeping on. Mm-hmm. And I hope you guys do too. Ooh, fun.
This was the smoothest end of any episode.
I've gotten so used to having somebody else here and being like, tell our listeners where they can check you out, which is such a great way to end an episode.
Easy out. It's an easy, easy. Out. It's great.
Cody, yeah. Tell our listeners where they can check you out.
Online.
Cool. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week, guys. And remember that we love you very,
very much.